Well, God bless you this evening, and we're coming to the question, is the King James Bible hard to understand? Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Speak to us, I pray, by your word, by the Holy Spirit, and use me to speak according to your will, the words and understanding, the words of knowledge that would come into our heart, Lord. Let those words be full of your life and be words of spirit, and let us perceive fully what you would have to say to us in this area. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
So we're coming to this question, is the King James Bible hard to understand? And first of all, what we have to see is that the Word of God is God's Word, and God is the one who is above all things and is Lord, and therefore He sets that standard for us. Mankind, being in a position that is beneath God, must reverence and give ear to what God says and not dictate or put his own opinions above what God has to say. So when we come to God's Word, we have to come in God's framework and not a human-based framework. If we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, really the underlying idea here is, how powerful is God? Is God powerful enough to communicate his Word to people or not? If God is weak, as those who think that God can't communicate to people are thinking that, then what kind of God is he to serve and follow and listen to? But if God is strong, and we know from the Word of God God is strong, we understand God is able to get through to man, if we understand that, we are going to see that God is able to let people come into knowledge and understanding, which is a vital thing in the area of the gospel and salvation. How can we be born again if we don't understand the gospel? In other words, God is strong enough to get the truth through and let us know in our hearts the truth, his truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4 say, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So this shows us that the world is in darkness, and it's a darkness of knowledge, it's a darkness of ignorance, it's a darkness of deception. In other words, they're not understanding the truth, and that there is a God of this world, that's the devil and the things of sin and the operations of this world, which is lying in wickedness. Those things are set against God, and carnal-mindedness, which is enmity against God, all those things are against God, and they're being maintained to keep God's light out. But what's the more powerful thing, light or darkness? If we bring, as we may in an example, bring a lantern to a dark place, what wins, darkness or light? And as we understand, always light wins. In this also, we see the Word of God, when it comes to someone's heart, Satan is busily, and his minions, the devils, are busily trying to maintain that area of darkness, that area of lack of knowledge, but we can see that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ is a more powerful thing, and God is able to get through. So, first of all, we see that the Word of God is a thing that may then seem to be different to the world, which indeed it is, because the world is in darkness. Nevertheless, when that word comes, it is more powerful than the things of this world to come against the word. So to someone in the darkness, the word is very different. And so then they might say, oh, the Bible, it's hard to understand. Or the Bible, it's completely different. Or something that is nothing to do with real life. Or whatever they might say. Whatever they're saying is really echoing, just as they're in their ignorance or in their deception, echoing whatever the maintained way of operating is in the darkness of the world, which is that the light of God is different to them, and in fact there are things being set up against the light of the Word of God. But what we see is the light of the Word of God can and does come and does shine and does change in situations. Let's look in John chapter 6 verse 60. John 6 verse 60. And Jesus here, when he said something to the people, it seemed like a difficult thing. To the people who are not spiritually minded, the Word of God seems like a difficult thing. And if anyone just thinks about the law of Moses or any of the commandments in the Bible, they'll think, well, this is a hard law to keep, very strict. You have to keep every point of it, as James says. How are we going to keep such a law that is so difficult? And John 6 verse 60, and as we know, the Bible says, be perfect. How are we going to be perfect? John 6:60, Jesus talks about here, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? So these people who were following Christ accused Christ of giving a hard saying and asked, who can hear it? In other words, who can do and understand and keep this kind of message that you're bringing, Christ? This is too hard for us. And of course we know that people were offended even and forsook Christ for the same reason. So then it looks like the Bible is hard to understand because the world's in darkness, so the light's different to the world. And secondly, we see here people who even were following Christ are saying, or the Word of God seems to be a hard saying to us. Let's look in Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 to 15. Matthew 13:13-15. What we're dealing with here is the Word of God itself, because what we're going to do is connect this to understand that the Word of God is present today in the earth and therefore will be treated in the same way. And you'll be able to see this. Matthew chapter 13 and starting from verse 13. And Jesus said, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. You can see here, these people were in a state of willing darkness, willing blindness, willing deafness, and their heart, it was being clogged up with other things. Now, people who let the cares of this world get in the way, for example, or people who let other deceitful things get in the way of their hearts and of their thinking and of their affections. Well, the Word of God is going to have a more difficult time getting through there as they are unwilling to hear it. Nevertheless, we understand that the Word is powerful. The light does shine in darkness, and as the Word of God comes, it does convert people who do have hearing hearts. There is a power there for healing and for conversion with the Word of God. But there is a key. There is a way in which the Word gets through, and we'll see this in Luke chapter 11, verse 52. What we need is a key so that we can have the Word of God being understood by us. Luke 11, verse 52. It says here, woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. Talking about the kingdom of God. You can see that those people who were teaching the law, they were providing and being a great hindrance to the Word of God, because they were taking away the key of knowledge. So there must be a key of knowledge for us. And how is it that we are going to come to understand and have the Word of God open to us so that the sayings won't be hard and that the things of the Word of God will be able to enter into our hearts? Well, we can see in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And this is talking about what we must do. In Proverbs chapter 1 verses 5 and 6 it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand the proverb and the interpretation. the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Well, let's have a look here. It says in verse 5, a wise man will hear. So what's this will hear? The will, it's talking about the inner man is receptive to the word of God. You know, many people in the time of Christ and since then have heard words, even the words of the Bible, and yet they have not responded to it in the right way because, as we can tell, their hearts were hardened or there was things in the way of them responding to the gospel in a proper way. So here we see that a wise man will hear, his heart is going to respond, and the action of his will is, I choose to hear the word. Not, I choose to make some kind of excuse why I don't want to receive it or why I can't receive it or anything like that, but a wise man is making a choice to hear. And of course, not only hear, but act on it and do. And it says here, and will increase learning. So his actions are to get more of the knowledge in. Now let me ask you a question. How are you going to get more of the knowledge of the word in? You're going to have to go toward God, not away from God. And we're going to see that it's going to be by us getting to the word and by us hearing from the Spirit of God. And how are we going to be able to do that except to go where the word is preached and go where the Spirit is working? Now, where is the word being preached? Is it being preached at the pub? No, it's not being preached at the pub. It's not being preached out in the world in the darkness as far as the operations of this world, but it is being preached in the church. So this is telling us, and we can understand, that if we're going to be wise, we're going to go to the place where we can hear the word so that with our will we are saying, yes, I choose to listen to where the word is coming from. We can't have a willing heart and yet not do anything or say, I'll sit at home and somehow by some mystical process it's going to pass into my mind from nowhere. No, we have to go to that place where the word is. Where is the Spirit working? Is the Spirit just generally in our round mysteriously working where we don't know where? Or has He set up ministries in the church and working through the speaking of the word in the church and teaching in the church by teachers in the church? And that's exactly where the Spirit of God is at work, for every man to profit with all. And so we know that a wise person then is a person who's going to go to church and going to be in the fellowship of brethren to get the word in and to speak the word out and to increase in learning, which means by their reading, by their listening to the word, they're going to increase in learning. It says, a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Attain means you may not initially know something, but we graduate into positions of understanding and knowledge in the word of God. This is not some kind of workspace thing where we're crawling up a mountain and come to enlightenment. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about as we develop spiritually and our heart is developed, our mind is developed in this, we become more and more learned in the kingdom of God. And these are the right works that we should do. And it's not for our own self to be some person that's just going to sit lonely on a mountain and be meditating all the day long like that, but for us to be filled with God's goodness and for grace to flow through us so that we can speak to others and do good things to others. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, and to be vital and effective members in the church. And in verse 6 it says to understand a proverb and the interpretation. Do you know there's two interpretations? People say, oh yes, the Bible's open to interpretation. There are many interpretations, and so there may be in the world. But do you know God has His interpretation and His interpretations of Scripture? We want to get in line with what God knows about His own Word, not what men's opinions are. And we find that in worldly learning, there is much of men's opinions there, and they'll tell about what they think, this, that, but the Scripture shows us the right way to come to the right interpretation or interpretations, and we know that some Scriptures, they have different meanings, both or multiple meanings, are all legitimate when we understand according to the Word of God. Never contradictory, but there's complementary interpretations, such as, for example, the tabernacle might have a special meaning when it talks about the literal cleaning of things and the literal burning of incense, but also we understand there's another meaning of the tabernacle, and that has to do with types or foreshadowing things in the New Testament that explain to us things of our Christian walk, so that the things of the tabernacle explain to us things about the Christian life. And so there's many different examples of prophecies in the Old Testament which may have a literal meaning one way and also have another spiritual meaning another way, or a typological meaning. So we come to grow in understanding of the Word of God, and not to come into false doctrines. Now, the Holy Ghost is not leading us into false interpretations or interpretations of man or private doctrines, but into what is the accepted and true doctrines of the Word of God as we have that hearing heart. And it says there in verse 6, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Well, they're dark sayings to those who are not connected to the light. But as those people who come to the light and come to understand what the Spirit is saying and are turning up to church and doing the right things and reading their Bibles, it's not going to be hard for them to understand the wise words. They might be dark to people or not able to be comprehended by people in the world, but when our hearts are opened and when a person's been born again, we've come to that place where our hearts are ready and receptive to come into the knowledge that God wants us to come into. Let's look at John 14 verse 26. So coming to the Bible is an important thing, and the Holy Ghost is also letting us know truth. And the Holy Ghost is not acting independently, but the Bible and the Holy Ghost are agreeing together. The Word of God teaches us about the Spirit, and the Spirit is teaching us about the Word of God. And so we're going to come into knowledge according to these things working together. And John chapter 14, verse 26. Let's have a look at John 14, 26. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So the Holy Ghost is teaching and bringing to our mind and to our memory, bringing to us knowledge and understanding of things, so that we can rely on that the Holy Ghost is teaching and leading us. And that doesn't just mean that we can be now independent from other people or independent from the people or members of the church. If anyone had a doctrine that said, "Oh, I don't have to connect with other people in the church now because I'm just following the Spirit," they would be wrong, because the Bible is telling us that the Spirit is using and speaking through people in the church. And also would be wrong as far as how we're going to speak the words of God to others if we're not connected with our brethren in the church. So it wouldn't make sense for anyone to say, "Well, the Holy Ghost is teaching me, I don't need the teachers in the church or the apostles or those people anymore." That would be a wrong doctrine, because in fact the Holy Ghost teaching is all to do with the church being together and helping one another. We're coming to the area of the Word of God itself and how it's come to us and what form it is. And if we look in Isaiah chapter 29 verses 11 and 12, we come specifically to even a prophecy here. Because we can ask the question, how is the Word of God come to us? In what form is it? Well, it's in book form, and it's a word that we can understand. In Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 11 and verse 12. It says, "And the vision of all is become unto you as the book, as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed." And verse 12, "And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I am not learned." We come to the situation which directly applies to the King James Bible today. This is the words of a book, and we have the book, a copy of a book in our hands, and we can turn into these pages and read. And you know, there's people that will look at the words and say, "I cannot comprehend this, I cannot understand this." And they'll be learned people and they can't understand it. And do you know why they can't understand it? Because to them it's a sealed book. It's a sealed book because the Spirit of God is revealing the knowledge of truth, and it is them who have some problem. See, it's not God that has a problem of getting truth through, it's the person What are they relying on? They're relying on their learning. And what is their learning? Their learning is the words of the world, the wisdom of this world. So do you know the wisdom of this world therefore cannot understand the wisdom of God? This person might have studied Greek philosophy. Is that going to help him understand the Word of God? This person might know about the Greek and the Hebrew of what languages the Bible was originally written in. But is that going to help them understand the Word of God? What you can see here is that there is a true kind of learning. There's learning in the world that is not going to help you understand the Word of God. But there is a true learning, as we saw before. A wise man will hear and he will attain unto wise counsel, as it tells us in those verses there in Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to understand that a wise person is one who is able to learn of and understand the Word of God because he's come into the right kind of learning, which is in the church and of the church. Not of man, not of things saying that they're of the Bible but are not, or in contradiction to it, or explaining it away, or making it something different. And there's many examples of that, of people who don't really believe the miracles of Jesus, or try and explain away different doctrines, or don't divide or discern the scriptures properly. And they might say, well, drinking all alcohol is good and fine because Jesus turned water into wine. So they're not understanding or discerning that the Bible talks about different kinds of wine. They don't even acknowledge that. There might be many different examples of things where they say, well, this verse was written, you know, many hundreds of years after that event happened, so the prophet was just writing after the events happened, and it's not really a prophecy. So all this learning that they might have is not true learning at all. They might say, oh, Moses didn't really write that, or it was written just based on a Babylonian manuscript that he heard this story and worked it together to make it into a nice fable as a history for his people, that were just some nomadic tribes that were living around in the wilderness, and then they gave themselves this identity. There's all kinds of excuses about the Word of God and not believing it literally. All kinds of learning that people can get into, but when we turn to the Word of God in truth, when we say this is God's Word, we can see very plainly that it is true and that it shows itself to be true, and that we can learn it and not be unlearned, and comprehend it and understand it because we're open to the Spirit and understanding in the right way by yielding to the Lord. And we see in the next verse, in verse 12, that there's another class of people. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Well, let's just apply this, for example, to the King James Bible. That there are a group of people, or a general area of people, who say, oh, we shouldn't use the King James Bible because people can't understand it. You know, we've got to come down onto the common person's language level and bring to them a new translation that's going to bring out the truth in a simple way so they can understand it, because they're not learned enough to understand the language of the King James Bible. What they're really saying is, God's not powerful enough to get his word through, so we have to meddle and interfere with God's word in order to make it so rubbishy and so mixed together that even a person who has no learning is going to understand what we want him to understand, which isn't really the Word of God. They're our own opinions of what we think God should have said in the first place. So what we're coming to really is just an area of unbelief again. Those that aren't learned. And those people who claim to come against the King James Bible by their learning are really in the category of the unlearned, because they have not learned the truth of the Word of God. They're in the wrong sort of learning, and they're not comprehending according to what the Spirit would have them to know. They're in fact in willful ignorance. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Because we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that the Lord is able to get his truth through to people. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, talking about the Spirit of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now let's look at verse 14 as well. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So the natural man, of course, is not going to receive, for example, the King James Bible. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So what we're talking about here is that there is a higher law of operation here than just the wisdom of men. That there is a higher level of understanding here than just mere intellect. That true intellect is being connected with God and coming to understand the truth here. So why then is the Word of God hard to understand to these people? What's the purpose of that? Why did God make it on a certain level and have people come up in learning and attain unto His level and come to His interpretations rather than just being generally everywhere known instantly and without any effort whatsoever? Why did God make it so that you actually have to make a choice of your will to come to it? Well, it's because the Lord has set it up in such a way that it is a revealed thing and is being unlocked and is in such a measure and way that you have to make your choice to receive it and to believe it. So it's not just an automatic thing, that you actually have to come to the right place and the right time as well. If we look in Daniel chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, we see on God's part what He's doing as far as holding back revelation and how He reveals it in Daniel chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. And then we'll see that there's also the choice of the person to receive when it comes to them. Daniel chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 says, "And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it." Can you see here that the Lord told Daniel that the vision, and of course it's the word written as well this applies to, is to be shut up for many days, and that of course there is a due time when the word is to be revealed? You can understand and see that God is in the right seasons, in the right times, giving the right measure of the revelation of the Word of God that's appropriate for that time. So if we're coming now to a time which is closer to the return of Jesus Christ and more advanced in time from the time of the apostles, what we should be believing is that we're coming into a revelation from the Spirit that's building on the past revelation, that we're coming into a greater understanding of the things of the Word of God. In other words, things aren't going backwards, and we're not going into the dark ages, we're going forward, but it's not just forward away somewhere off the track, it's forward in God's revelation, because there's many people who have gone forward, which is really backwards, which is often on some tangent somewhere. Let's also look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15, and we see here that the act of the will of the individual receiver is important. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Timothy 2:15, now this is the act of the will that we must do. Okay, we don't understand from Scripture, or it seems hard to us when we're born again. What should we do? 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So, if we're going to have a willing heart, what are we going to do? We're going to apply ourselves to come into understanding those things that we might not understand. It might be hard to understand the King James Bible for some people, but all they have to do is receive from the Spirit of God and get themselves in an environment where the Word is being opened up. And you know, it's actually not hard, because the Spirit of God is not weak but strong, and God is able to get truth to people. And this is something we must understand. I'll give you a quote from John Burgeon, who lived from 1813 to 1888. He was an Anglican man, and he lived at a time when there was a trend going away from the King James Bible that was beginning to be apparent in English society. And he said, talking about difficulties, he said, Why then are difficulties of this or of any kind permitted in the gospel at all? It may be asked. I answer, that they may prove instruments of probation to you and to me. The difficulties in the Holy Scripture, which are numerous and diverse and considerable, are admirable tests of the moral, the spiritual, the intellectual temper of man. This is what he's saying. He's saying God has put things in there that you have to apply yourself to study and to understand, because God is testing to see, are you serious? Are you going to make a choice to understand something that you might not understand? See? And God says, now in my certain due season and due time, I'm revealing things, but are you applying yourself to study? And so when that time comes when something is revealed, are you in a receptive state to receive that from the Lord? Have you built up your understanding? Strange sounding way of speaking as compared to normal speaking on the street. If God is using the King James Bible, why is it in this language that seems to be not matching up with normal speech? In fact, what we're seeing here is this is God's use of the English language. You know, if God's going to communicate in English, he's going to communicate properly, and we see that all the way through the King James Bible. There's not grammatical errors in there. It's in fact showing that there's a high degree and in fact a perfection in the use of the grammar and language. That the style and the language of it is not old English, as some people say. Otherwise Jesus would be speaking to us in some way we couldn't understand, because old English was the kind of language that was being spoken when the Vikings were burning and pillaging and so on back in the Dark Ages. So it's not in old English. It's in biblical English. And biblical English matches with and is comprehensible to modern English and is able to be understood by anyone in the time of modern English, in line with, are they willing to hear? Are they listening with their heart open? Is the Holy Ghost speaking there? Are they coming to the Word of God? Are they studying to show thyself approved? So you might have been living at the time of Shakespeare, or maybe today. Is the Word of God in the King James Bible, and that's how God is communicating to us, is it hard to understand or not? Let's look at a few verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15. Is God able to communicate, for example, to children today? Let's see. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So is the King James Bible really hard to understand, or can even children understand it as they're coming through the proper way of instruction, teaching in the church, having a willing heart, the Holy Ghost is speaking through to them, and that they're coming to the Word of God? Yes, God is able to communicate even to children using the King James Bible even today. What about people who haven't had an education? For example, some of the Pentecostal and other pioneers in the area of evangelical revival, some of them didn't have very much education at all in those days. Yet they could preach the Bible. Why is that? Let's look in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. See, it doesn't require man's education necessarily for us to come into the knowledge of the Word of God and to be able to speak it and to live it. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. There is one important factor we see in Acts 4, verse 13. "Now when they," it's talking about the Jewish council, "now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marvelled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." What's important here? Learning in the worldly system, or being with Jesus, where you'll get wise? Now, there's nothing wrong with having education. In fact, it's a good thing, and we can find many statements about that through all Christian history and literature. Of course, even the translators of the King James Bible themselves were university men, many of them. And so what we can understand and see is, of course, God is blessed and uses education. But the most important thing is godly education, as far as coming to church and receiving the teaching of the Word of God, and the things to do with the Word of God being put in our hearts as we have a willing and hearing heart. How is God going to get this word to people? Let's have a look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. But we'll see here that God really is strong enough to get the word to people. And how is he going to do it? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, and in verse 5 it says about the word of the truth of the gospel. So this is what he's talking about. So the gospel, verse 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. You know, if this gospel is bringing fruits forth in all the world and people hear the truth of it, how is that applying today? Well, let's think about it. The word of God is going forth to a people today in what way? In a language they can understand. And by the church. Well, is the church still present on earth? Yes. Is the word of God present? Yes. The world is speaking the English language more and more. So we can see that God, and we can relate this to the prophecy that's saying that even the King James Bible should be the way which God can reach people today. Not that they should say, well, this is a hard version and wrong and with errors in it and not really bringing the truth of the Hebrew and Greek out properly. But we should be saying, no, God is communicating to us and he's using this to get through to us the truth of the Word of God. It's not hard to understand because I'm open to the Spirit here. I'm open to having a willing heart to receive the word of the Lord. And I can see that God can use English because God's not weak but strong. I can see that God is using the church today and not just believe that he used the church in the time of the apostles because I can see God is strong, not weak. God is able to get the word through because God is strong and not weak. God is able to get it through. And let's conclude by looking at Romans 16 verse 26. Romans 16:26, and we'll see again a prophecy that we can apply to the King James Bible being the way that God is able to communicate to unlearned people, to children, to multitudes. How is God able to get through his truth even in today's world? In Romans chapter 16 verse 26. Romans 16:26 says, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. How are nations today going to understand and know the gospel to be obedient to it? They're going to have to understand and know the word of God. It's going to be in a language that they understand. It's going to be in a form that they can grab hold of. It's going to be by preaching of the word by a church that is present for them to hear it. So what we can see here is that this prophetically links us to the idea that God has and does and even will, and we should believe this, will use the King James Bible and will even use us to preach the word, to get the word to people so that there is a continuation of the fulfillment of this scripture, which says very plainly that all nations should know the gospel. So it's not, well, all nations will hear these words, but they'll just be hard words and not able to be comprehended by them. That's not what it's saying. See, it's all about the Holy Ghost is able, God is able to get people to understand the words on his level so that the cultures conform to his word. It's not, well, I'm going to go to New Guinea and preach to them using a pidgin English version and then I'll change the words, for example, the Lamb of God, I'll change that to their culture, which might be the Pig of God, and so they'll understand now what I'm talking about when I change lamb to pig. No, you've just wrecked the Word of God right there. You've changed the Scriptures. You've actually come against God's way of and ability of preaching the Word to people. What we must do is say, right, people, here's the Word of God, let's grow, let's learn, let's study, and let's come to it and hear what God is saying. And it's not a hard thing. In fact, all the things of history are actually working together for that very thing to happen. It's not an accident that the people in other countries are learning English today. It's not an accident that the King James Bible is still around. You know, when you go on the internet to get a free Bible, it's not an accident that the King James Bible is by far most easily accessible on the internet, it's not an accident that that's a fact. It's not an accident that when you get Bible software that invariably you'll get a King James Bible as a free version with your Bible software when you get it on your computer, is because actually we've seen the working of the Spirit of God to get His truth out there. And we must believe that today and actually consciously and deliberately propagate that agenda, which is what the Lord wants. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your truth and how You're revealing things to us, and how that You're speaking to nations, and that You use Your church and believers and people in the earth, and how You undergird and bring to revelation and knowledge people who might have grown up where there wasn't much education and might have grown up where there wasn't much of a Christian culture around them. Nevertheless, we know the power of the gospel is to even break through, break bonds, change nations, bring in godly things, and we thank You for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen. Thank you.